Outside, it'd be roasted potatoes floating in vats of butter and a whole stag on a spit. Later on, there'd be a command performance by that man who put weasels down his trousers, a form of entertainment that Nanny ranked higher than grand opera. As a witch, of course, she'd be welcome anywhere, and it was always a good idea to remind the knobs of this in case they forgot. It was a hard choice, but she decided to stay outside and have a good dinner of venison because, like many old ladies, Nanny Og was a bottomless pit for free food. Then she'd go inside and fill the gaps with the fiddly dishes. Besides, they probably had that expensive fizzy wine in there, and Nanny had quite a taste for it, provided it was served in a big enough mug. But you needed a good depth of beer before you loaded up on the fancy stuff. She picked up a tankard, ambled to the front of the queue at the beer barrel, gently nudged aside the head of a man who'd decided to spend the evening lying under the tap, and drew herself a pint. As she turned back, she saw the splay-footed figure of Agnes approaching, still slightly uneasy with the idea of wearing the new pointy hat in public. "Watch her, girl," said Nanny. "Try some of the venison. It's good stuff." Agnes looked doubtfully at the roasting meat. Lancre people looked after the calories and let the vitamins go hang.
"Do you think I could get a salad?" she ventured.
"Hope not," said Nanny happily.
"Lot of people here," said Agnes.
"Everyone got an invite," said Nanny. "Magrat was very gracious about that, I thought."
Agnes craned her head.
"Can't see Granny around anywhere, though."
"She'll be inside telling people what to do."
"Haven't seen her around much at all lately," said Agnes. "She's got something on her mind, I think."
Nanny narrowed her eyes.
"You think so?" she said, adding to herself, "You're getting good, miss."
"It's just that ever since we heard about the birth,"
Agnes waved a plump hand to indicate the general high cholesterol celebration around them,
"she's been so stretched, sort of.
Twanging."
Nanny Og thumbed some tobacco into her pipe and struck a match on her boot.
"You certainly notice things, don't you?" she said, puffing away. "Notice, notice, notice. We'll have to call you Miss Notice."
"I certainly notice you always fiddle around with your pipe when you're thinking thoughts you don't much like," said Agnes.
"It's displacement activity."
Through a cloud of sweet-smelling smoke, Nanny reflected that Agnes read books. All the witches who'd lived in her cottage were bookish types. They thought you could see life through books, but you couldn't, the reason being that the words got in the way.
"She has been a bit quiet, that's true," she said. "Best to let her get on with it."
"I thought perhaps she was sulking about the priest who'll be doing the naming," said Agnes.
"Oh, old brother Perdori's all right," said Nanny. "Gabbles away in some ancient lingo, keeps it short, and then you just give him sixpence for his trouble, fill him up with brandy, and load him onto his donkey, and off he goes."
"What? Didn't you hear?" said Agnes. "He's laid up over in Scund. Broke his wrist and both legs falling off the donkey."
Nanny Og took her pipe out of her mouth.
"Why wasn't I told?" she said.
"I don't know, Nanny. Mrs. Weaver told me yesterday."
"Oh, that woman! I passed her in the street this morning. She could have said..."
Nanny poked her pipe back into her mouth as though stabbing all uncommunicative gossips.
"How can you break both your legs falling off a donkey?"
"It was going up that little path on the side of Scund Gorge. He fell 60 feet.
"Oh? Well, that's a tall donkey, right enough."
"So the king sent down to the Omnian Mission in O'Hoolan to send us up a priest, apparently," said Agnes.
"He did what?" said Nanny.
A small grey tent was inexpertly pitched in a field just outside the town. The rising wind made it flap and tore at the poster which had been pinned onto an easel outside. It read, "Good news! Om welcomes you!" In fact, no one had turned up to the small introductory service that Mightily Oates had organised that afternoon, but since he had announced one, he had gone ahead with it anyway, singing a few cheerful hymns to his own accompaniment on the small portable harmonium, and then preaching a very short sermon to the wind and the sky. Now the quite reverend Oates looked at himself in the mirror. He was a bit uneasy about the mirror, to be honest. Mirrors had led to one of the church's innumerable schisms, one side saying that since they encouraged vanity they were bad, and the other side saying that since they reflected the goodness of Om, they were holy. Oates had not quite formed his own opinion, being by nature someone who tries to see something in both sides of every question, but at least the mirror...